Well, throughout this month of April, we've been involved in this series of sermons and small group study based on a book by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. And when we started this series 3 weeks ago, we talked about how evangelism is really scary for people. We hear the word evangelism and we picture the man out on the busy street corner with the bullhorn calling people to repent. Or we picture the evangelist preaching to a huge crowd in a stadium. Or we picture perhaps those people that come knocking at our door to make the sale for Jesus. So many images come to mind for us when we hear the word evangelism, but the truth is that most people, most Christians, when they think of evangelism, think of it as something that somebody else does. And so as we began this series, we talked about some things that evangelism is not. And in your bulletin today, we've included some teaching notes again that I would welcome you to take out. Only this week, all the answers are included. Because what we've done is try to highlight some things that we've been lifting up over these weeks. But we talked about how evangelism is not getting more people into our church. It's not about downloading our agenda and closing a deal. And it's not about a one-time event that distinguishes those outside the faith from those who are inside. As we've been focusing on evangelism here, we've seen that evangelism is really about helping others move closer to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And we do that by developing friendships that involve listening before faith sharing. And by welcoming others into a loving Christian community where they can have a sense of belonging. Helping others move closer to God. Developing friendships and welcoming people. These things we all can do. And we've been trying to emphasize how all of us are called to the work of sharing the good news with the people that God brings into our lives. Now, on the second week, Pastor Dave helped us to go deeper into what it looks like to practice evangelism. And we focused on three D's. Developing friendships. People aren't going to be open to us sharing our faith unless, first of all, they know that we care about them. And we've developed a friendship where there's trust. Second D is discover stories. And we recognize that everybody has a story. And that it is important to us as we develop friendships to be good listeners so that we are discovering the stories of those that we're developing friendships with. And then the third D is discerning next steps, being open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about how important prayer is from the beginning of this study, because we want to be sensitive to how God is moving in our lives and in the lives of the people around us so that we might find opportunities to share our faith. And then last week we focused on the next step and we looked at the power of stories. And we talked about how when prompted by the Holy Spirit, we share our before and our after story. And we all have a story. We all have a before. And then we have that moment or that season when we met Jesus. And then we have an after. And we can talk about the difference that it has made in our lives because Jesus came into our hearts. And so when we have the opportunity were prepared briefly and simply to say, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And we've heard some great faith stories during this series. On the second week, George Cananizado shared with us. And next week, Tina Eaton, who is home with the flu this morning, and Lori Huffnagel are going to share with us the little skit they did at the 10:45 service last week. And some of you have emailed your faith stories to me or to Pastor Dave or Tina, and we've created a display out here in the gathering space where you can stop by and you can read the faith stories. We're going to hear more tonight at our celebration here in the sanctuary. Now, this morning, as we move into the last message in this series, I'd like to call upon Rick Kaufman, who is chair of our evangelism committee, and Rick has a story to tell. Welcome.
Good morning. You know, my story is probably pretty typical and much like your story. You know, I grew up in a Christian family. And my parents made sure that we were in the same pew every Sunday. We went to Sunday school, VBS, youth fellowship, did all the right things. I remember going to a neighborhood evangelism week, and that was there where I think I accepted Jesus for the first time. Even though I remember the lady telling me, don't worry about the future. If you accept Jesus, everything will be perfect. I really didn't know what that meant, but I did it anyway. Now, as most teenagers and young adults do, church wasn't a priority for me, and, you know, I did the things that teenagers and young adults do. But as I had kids, I think the prompting from my parents and the habit my parents put into my life refocused, and I got back in the habit of coming to church all the time. But it was a habit. Now, that changed about 1997 when somebody asked me if I would help with the 8th grade Sunday school class. And for some reason, I said yes. I don't know why, but the word yes came out of my mouth. Looking back on that time, that's probably when I went from being a spectator to a participant. I went from seeing what's going on in the church to actually trying to get involved in the church and being part of the church. So, my question to you is, or my point to you is, if you're somebody that's waiting to be asked, I'm asking you, get involved. Or, if you know somebody out there that needs to be asked, pray for the courage to walk across the room and ask them to get involved. You may change their life. Thank you.
Thank you. We are grateful for your story, Rick, and for the encouragement that you've given us to take that step and walk across the room. Well, this week I want to close this series by talking to you about living with a grander vision. And my hope for this series is that it's not just an evangelistic shot in the arm. We're going to change our behavior for a couple weeks and get evangelistic here at the church. And maybe some people are going to say, wow, I'm really glad Pastor Denny finished that series because we're tired of talking about taking walks across the room. But my hope is that this series would lead for each of us to a lifestyle change. And that we would walk out the door each morning on what I would like to call a Holy Spirit-guided adventure, where we are open to the promptings of the Spirit to meet people and to help them find God. That our lives would be that way, not just now, but for as long as we are on this planet. Because there is a bigger vision. There is so much going on that most people are aware of, and we get glimpses of it from time to time, and it's significant. If we can learn to be sensitive to how God is moving in our day-to-day lives. Now let me ask you, how many of you have ever gone snorkeling? Anybody ever? Wow. Hey, that's quite a few people. I never have. But last year I was at lunch with a group of pastors, and one of them had just come back from celebrating his anniversary in the Caribbean. And he had been snorkeling and he was all excited about it. And he said, you know, I've been going to the Maryland shore all my life and I love swimming in the ocean. But when I put on that mask and that snorkel and went down into the water, immediately, he said, it took my breath away. He said he was swimming with beautiful fish, and he saw sea turtles and dolphins and brightly colored coral and all this life. And he said, you know, there is so much life under the water that you would never know unless you get below the surface. I was thinking about that conversation again this week as I was thinking about grander vision living, because so many people in our day and age are just bobbing around on the surface, content to be warm but missing out on the life that's going on all around us. God has called you and me to more than this. God calls us into the life that really is life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And part of experiencing that abundant life is being able to get our eyes off of the temporal things alone, off of the things that are just right there visible in front of us from day to day, and being able to see the grander vision. We don't want to get so caught up as Christians in the day-to-day affairs of life that we miss out on our real purpose, on what we are on earth for. Now this morning, as we look at grander vision living, I would invite you to look with me at a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Luke and the 5th chapter, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus approaches this guy named Simon in this passage, along with others that are with him, and invites them to live by a grander vision. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Now picture this. Simon, the fisherman, who has known fishing all his life, is being instructed by the rabbi from Nazareth, who probably had not much experience with fishing, to put out again into the deep water, even though he'd been up all night and hadn't caught anything. And yet, Simon says, "If you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Now, can you imagine what's going on in the minds of these fishermen? They spend every day going to work, pulling in the fish, taking them to market, making a couple of bucks to pay the bills and feed their families, going to bed, sleeping all day, getting up and going out and going fishing again, and doing the same thing over and over again. And here they've got these two boats so full of fish that their boat is sinking. Well, they could take a week off of work, or they could get ahead and pay some bills. They've got to be pretty excited about this. But Jesus looks at them and he says, "Listen, you can take these fish to market. You can go get your money. You can pay your bills. You can go back to fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. It's not a bad life. But I want to invite you to something so much more exciting and so much bigger. The action is not found here in this boat," he says. "The action is found with me on the road, helping people to find God." "What do you want to spend your one and only life on?" he says to them. "Do you want to spend it on catching these little 6-inch fish? Or do you want to catch big fish with me?" And you know, Jesus extends that same invitation to you and to me. He says, "What do you want? Do you want to spend your primary effort going after the small fish or the big fish? What's it going to be?" And we get to choose. And part of that choosing is understanding the big picture that Jesus puts in front of us. Jesus asks all sorts of people to invest their lives in something more than just temporal things. He asks business people, he asks moms and dads, he asks those who are retired, he asks students, he asks bus drivers, doctors, coaches, computer programmers, dentists, teachers, elected officials, construction workers, hairstylists, law enforcement officers, chefs and pilots, and attorneys. He even asks pastors. And he says, "What are you going after? What is your primary endeavor in life? Are you content with just bobbing around on the surface, or do you want to join me in a grander vision? Are you content just making the small catch and paying the bills, or do you want to spend your life helping to change the destinies of the people around you?" For Jesus, the priority is always people. This whole series has really been all about people. Walking across the room for people. Radically including people, caring for people, sharing our stories with people. People are the big fish for Jesus. And as you know, as you look at the world around us, There is wonderful opportunity awaiting every one of us if we would capture the grander vision. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven." Jesus reminds us, just as he told those fishermen long ago, that we have a light. And we're not to stick it under a bowl, but to let it shine. To let it shine in such a way that it will point people to God. How you shine your light matters. In his book, Bill Hybels talks about sitting in a meeting one time, and the speaker suddenly unfurled this roll of stickers that he had in his hand. "There's something we must all understand," the speaker said as he walked across the front of the room. And periodically he would stop and he would put a red sticker on a tiny replica of a house, and a red sticker on a Hot Wheels car, and a red sticker on a dollhouse-sized desk that represented our vocational lives. "Now, you may not be able to tell from where you're sitting," he said, "but each red sticker has a single word on it. And the word is temporary. And these things I'm putting them on are all temporary. They will fade away. If you are living only for these things," he said, "then you are living a life of temporary pleasure, temporary satisfaction, and temporary fulfillment." And then, Heibel said, this man continued walking around the room, now in silence, and labeled everything in sight with these red stickers. And Heibel says he watched the speaker's hands declare the fate of everything as temporary, 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 temporary. And then he stopped. And he said, "There is only one thing in this room that is not temporary." And he called someone to join him on the stage. And he placed a blue sticker on her lapel. "When you get to the end of your life and take your last breath," he said, "what do you want your life to have been about?" It's really all about people. No earthly commodity is going to make it from this world to the next. Not land, homes, bank accounts, titles, achievements. Only one thing. Our souls. Jesus taught us that every human being would be resurrected to spend eternity in community with God in heaven or in isolation from God in hell. And because Jesus understood these eternal realities and believed them to the core of his being, he focused his attention on the only thing that extends to the next reality. It's people. The souls of people. Jesus invites us to a grander vision for living. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are on a mission from God." Go ahead. You're on a mission from God. That's a grander vision. It's all about people. Over these weeks, we've been talking about some simple steps that we can take to point people to a life-changing relationship that has eternal consequences. And I want to close this series now by giving you a simple invitation. At the beginning of the service, I ask that each of you take a leaf out of that little paper bag. And I ask that at some time during the service, as you feel led, that you would write down the first name of one or two people that you've been praying for. Now, in his letter to the Colossians, Paul closes with the instructions that we are to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And when Paul writes these words, he's reminding us how prayer opens doors. Prayer softens hearts. Prayer makes conversations possible that would not otherwise be possible. Perhaps you've written down the name of someone in your family or a friend, someone at your school, your workplace, in your neighborhood. Maybe it's someone you just met and the Holy Spirit is prompting you to develop a friendship and to hold that person in prayer. You're praying for a door to open, maybe to tell your faith story, or maybe to invite that person to come to church with you. Who is it that God is laying on your heart? I invite you to write that name down on the leaf. And as we sing our closing hymn this morning, I'm going to invite you to bring your leaves forward and lay them here on the altar as you feel led. This week our staff is going to attach those leaves to that big tree over there. And you remember how last year we kept putting up from week to week those different ministries of our church, and again as we did, we were reminded that our grander vision is not really about programs. It's really about people. It's really about how in everything that we do here in the church, we're helping people, children, youth, and adults, move toward a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about people. It's about one person at a time being welcomed by you into a life-changing relationship with the Lord of life.